Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahulastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Series 12 of Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre Podcast with me, Richard Herring. Hello. And my guest tonight is Ellie Taylor. Look, hey, if you enjoy these podcasts, why not come along and see some of these shows being filmed? We've got some fantastic guests coming up, including Richard Osman and Reginald D. Hunter. I'm hoping Brian Blessed. I'm really hoping. I've opened another channel to Brian Blessed today. Which is always something to look forward to. And remember, you can buy Emergency Questions books and play this at home. There is an app now, both on Android and Apple. And you can also, if you've got one of those Alexa things, I'm going to try and get one so I can show you how this works. You can say, Alexa, ask me an emergency question, and she'll ask you an emergency question. And that's free. Do come along if you like. And also check out richardherring.com/gigs for details of how to come along and see this show. And someone's talking in the background. Oh, someone's walking across the camera. Hello, how are you doing? Good, thanks. This doesn't happen when you do this on your own. That's why you do this on your own. And also my tour, which is coming up. It's good, isn't it, when you come to the actual show, isn't it? They didn't say yes. So come like these people did it. We got, and those late people, don't be late like those people who just came in. Anyway, let's look at the podcast now. That was good, wasn't it? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who hasn't lived in London for 2 months and does not approve of your change in sky colour. That was a mistake, London. It's Richard Herring. Thank you very much. The sky's gone orange. The sky's not, I presume, it's going to be like that by the time this podcast goes out. So welcome to Series 12. Episode 151 of Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. But I was I saw a man playing, talking on, he was texting actually on his Nokia 3310. I was looking over his shoulder. He quite cleverly shortened that to Rahulastapas. I don't know if that's going to catch on. The sky has turned orange today. Which it makes the world look like it's a new romantic video. So that's what... It's taken me back to my youth, so that's been very enjoyable. I don't approve of that. It's been a bit sad, I'm a bit sad actually today, and a bit kind of discombobulated. We had the
awful news that Sean Hughes died today. So I'm very upset about it. I foolishly in the last series of Rahel Estepa. Yeah, don't shout that out now. I kind of bragged that no one who'd ever been on this show had died and made them immortal. And I kind of feel this is my fault. So I would just like to say what a fantastic guy he was. I'd like to dedicate this series to Sean, who will be fantastically missed. It's in a terrible shame what's happened. And fucking hell. We could all die any second. So let's crack on with the series. So I do have to apologise to John Murray, who paid some money, to insult his friend. But I misread the email and insulted John Murray and said... So I will read this out in lieu. I offered him his money back, but he didn't take it. So I should pay him back double. He wants to say, Steve Glazier of Herne Hill, who is the world's oldest Java programmer and a total fucking idiot. That's the message we wanted to go for there. It's a weird time for me. Lots of things are changing. We've moved out of out of London, and we're in the countryside now, which is very nice. We've got a new son. He's called Ernie Herring. He's quite nice. He's a bit of an idiot. I made a Sunday roast last night, and I thought, for dinner, and he wanted milk. So I mean, it just seems rude. But it's kind of weird. We've obviously got a daughter already. It's kind of a weird thing having a son. Changing a nappy is a very different experience with a boy, I'm so used to not being. There's something in the way now, and it's an odd experience. Gently cleaning another male's testicles with a wet wipe—that is something I've never experienced before. I mean, I've never roughly cleaned another male's testicles. And it sounds like I've done it with other things than wet wipes. So I haven't. And anyone who says I have, and they've seen me behind the bus station roughly and gently cleaning men's testicles with a variety of different cloths and scourers, it's a lie. But it's such a weird thing to. You've got to be gentle. They're testicles, right? So that's an odd thing, and it gives you this sort of odd focus. I just think the world would be a better place if all men every day had to clean the testicles of another man. I just think it would take a lot of aggression out of the. So it would just be a start there, and it should be randomly assigned by ballot. Someone turns up today, it's my turn to clean your testicles. I think it would make men a lot more relaxed, but also, on the plus side, it would also mean all men had really clean testicles, which what I understand from talking to women, is not always the case. So that's. It would be a double thing, but it's a delight and a privilege to be able to do that for my son. I don't know. Maybe it sounds weird. I don't know. But lots of terrible things going on in the world, of course, as always. It seems to be getting worse, and not only the sky changing colour. But as a father of a daughter, I have to say, I'm very opposed. I was very opposed to all kinds of sex crimes. But now I've got a son as well, so... The jury's out. We'll have to see what I have next. I don't want to. What else can I talk about? Yeah. Well, I don't want to blow it all, so to speak. Look. Hey, there's. I said this to you, but there's a new app out which I'll be using for emergency questions on Apple and Android. There's also on Alexa. If you've got one of those, I don't know what they are, but if you say to. You can speak to a computer. It's the nearest I've got to being inside a computer, and I'm excited to a robot, and I'm very excited. About that blew the joke, but it doesn't matter. So, and maybe I'll talk about Pointless next week, which is actually in 2 weeks' time, next week's show. It's confusing. You'll see when it goes on. Okay. I'm going to crack on. I was on Pointless again. Did you see it?
Yeah.
Don't say well done. Don't you dare patronise me. Someone did say it was like my wife was playing Family Fortunes and I was playing Pointless. That's all I will say about that. Look, we're going to crack straight on. Tonight's guest. Have I done everything I'm meant to do? It feels like I don't know what's going on anymore. She's probably best known for the advert for Matalan dressing gowns. She modelled for. Will you please welcome Ellie Taylor, ladies and gentlemen? Come in, sit down. Thank you. Thank you for coming along.
Oh, you're welcome.
So tell us about the Matalan dressing gowns.
Well,
what's that about?
Well, many moons ago, I was a model for a bit,
right.
But like the worst model in the world. So that was one of my glamorous jobs, star of Matalan catalogue 2005.
What kind of face do you have to pull when you're modelling Matalan? Because I would imagine not too sexy. Matalan's not meant to be too sexy, so it's got to be more like the functional.
What's a functional?
A functional dressing. Well, like what? I mean, it just covers you up when you're going to the toilet. And you're on your way to the toilet, crossing the hallway.
Yeah, I tried not to be too sexy.
Okay.
It was very hard, obviously. but yeah, I remember we were filming in someone's house and it was on a summer's day and I was wearing like these quilted fleecy dressing gowns. And I remember going to a corner of the room and wafting because I was so hot. And then afterwards realised where I was wafting was like glass doors into another room. And then shortly afterwards, the owner of the house, a male man, a real male man, came out of the room that I just wafted right in front of.
Right.
So he had a great day.
Yeah.
Me, not so much.
Usually letting people film your house is a bad idea. Yeah. But that was the one time it paid off for that guy. And you did Asda bras as well.
Did Asda bras. All the big hitters. Yeah. Really glamorous, wasn't it? Yeah, that's the thing. Like some of like, the girls I used to work with, they'd be like doing going Prada and whatever, and I'd be going to Luton to model dressing gowns. It was a strange existence. It really was.
So how did you get from that to the world of comedy?
Because I was such a shit model, basically. Because I was always like, I'm quite physically awkward, and I play with that on stage a lot. I think I like that. But you know, you're not meant to be physically awkward when you're meant to be looking nice in a dress. And I remember like doing sort of shoots where there'd be three girls like walking in a row, and you're meant to like after three jump in the air, and they all look beautiful. And every shot would be just mouth like ruining it. So I was awful. I was also a bit. I was fat for a model. I was fat. Like all the other girls, skinny little minis, and me come along size 10, which is obviously like a normal size, but I was basically like Hagrid with a thyroid problem. It was, I had to be cut out of clothes at some shoots. It's just, yeah, it was not a fun time.
No.
So I thought, do you know what is much better for your mental health? Comedy. but with a bit of stint of marketing and events in the middle, I had a grown-up job for a while, and then, right. Yeah, ended up in comedy.
And was it Show Me the Funny that was sort of your first, was that the first time you did stand-up, or you've done a bit?
So I was working in marketing and events for CNN.
Okay.
So again, barrel of laughs. On the side, I'd started doing stand-up. And I've been doing stand-up for probably about a year, just little open mic nights and stuff. And then Show Me the Funny happened, which was an ITV talent show, which no one watched. Sort of like the X Factor for comedy. And I got into that. And I had to quit my job in order to do the show. And I'd never even been paid for a gig.
Right.
So it was a bold move, some would say stupid, but it was all right. Yeah, so from that point I got an agent and stuff, so it all started going.
So there was Tiffany Stevenson doing
yes.
that.
Yes, Pat Monahan, Stuart Goldsmith.
Oh, Stuart did as well.
Patrick won it. Yeah, yeah. In the end, yeah.
But that kind of led on to everything else.
Yeah, because I'd quit my job, so I had no option. I had to carry on, but I felt like I had to catch up a bit because I'd been on telly, so I was getting booked for these shows.
Yeah,
but I was. You know, I remember getting like very shortly after doing that show where I'd never been paid for a gig. I got like a 30-minute corporate, and I took it, and I obviously died on my ass because I wasn't ready for it. So it took a few years to sort of get as good as I should be.
I still die on my ass at all corporate gigs. I do. That's why I don't get asked to do many. But every now and again, someone's moved on. They've forgotten how badly I did. And they go, "Thank you. Yes, I will have that money."
Yes,
to be humiliated in front of some bankers for half an hour.
Oh, I always get a lot of sort of construction work corporates.
Right.
The natural fit. Yeah, they're all right though.
Yeah.
They pay the mortgage.
Yeah, they do.
And kill your soul, but same.
So you're from Brentwood in Essex.
True.
What towns is Brentwood in Essex twinned with? And have you been to the...
Oh, God, I didn't know how to do homework.
Yeah, it's just that you had to live in Brentwood and Essex. And it takes some facts in.
Oh, I don't know.
It's Roth in Germany.
Oh, right.
And Mont-Bazon in France.
Is
and
it?
Also, it's got a sort of loose association with Brentwood in Texas also.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for letting me know.
Who are your two favourite celebrities from Brentwood in Essex, apart from yourself?
Oh, well, first one's obvious, Jodie Marsh.
Okay.
No doubt there. Ross Kemp.
Ross Kemp is, I didn't see
he's
him.
He's a good one.
Yeah.
There's quite a few from Brentwood.
Well, there's quite a lot of, there's a school there, isn't there? So quite a lot of posh people.
There's quite a lot of schools. So, yeah.
Well, there's a posh school there,
there
I'm
is
guessing.
A posh school, yeah, there
there's
is
Douglas
posh
Adams,
school.
There's lots of people like Douglas. Noel Edmonds went to school there.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think Griff Rhys-Jones went to school there.
Oh, right, okay.
Two Shoes from The X Factor went there.
I remember
we lived
that.
In Brentwood.
Yeah,
I don't remember
I do
them.
I remember that, yeah.
Two Shoes?
Yeah.
Was it literally two shoes or yeah. was it some people?
I think they got through to judges' houses and that was yeah, about it, yeah. Said, one of the shoes had to go home.
You're
yeah.
just two shoes. I don't know how you got this far. Fatima Whitbread would be my favourite.
Oh, that was one
Have
of
you
my...
seen her around with Fatima
there
Whitbread?
There was one of my favourite covers of our local paper, the Brentwood Gazette, was a story about Fatima Whitbread saving the eyesight of a little boy who got petrol in his eye at the Esso.
Right.
And she very quickly went into the Esso, got some milk and threw it in his face.
Right. And coincidentally, that cured the problem. She's good. I met Fatima Whitbread on some, I don't know what it was, some tea. You know, like you do all these panel shows.
Yeah.
And she was, I think it was a Mark Watson one, actually. It wasn't that one. We might get onto that, though. I'll do it now. You did a show called Elementary.
I did.
Did you, ever thought of teaming up with Mark Watson to do a show called Elementary, My Dear Mark Watson? It's just, that's just a joke for them. Don't worry, it's a joke for them.
Okay.
You should do.
Okay.
But you'd have to really like Mark Watson to make it to make the pun work.
And presumably he would have to want to do it as well.
Well, he'll do anything.
Okay.
That's how I met Fatima Whitbread.
Okay.
Mark Watson. Some Mark Watson sports thing it was, I don't know. Good, that's all I had.
All the Brentwood.
No, actually, did you ever do trampolining in Brentwood?
Don't think I did, no. Why?
Did you ever play chess in
Absolutely not.
Did you ever play volleyball or handball in Brentwood?
No.
Are you really from Brentwood? Brentwood was the trampolining centre of the world.
Of the world?
Until 1981, which admittedly was before you were born.
True.
But that shouldn't have stopped you.
Okay. No, I never did that.
No.
I did Duke of Edinburgh's award.
There's a big chess competitions take part in Brentwood.
No, there's not.
They do. It's the biggest ever... load of chess players. It's a bit like this. It's seven chess players got together. That's the largest number. And they play volleyball and handball there a lot as well.
I would say Brentwood's best known for Towie. That's where most of the
no.
No. Silly me thinking that. Volleyball all along.
Volleyball.
Sure.
Have you ever met Brian Blessed, the actor Brian Blessed?
Does he play volleyball?
No, I've moved on now.
Okay. Oh, I can't keep up.
I felt it was a dead end, the volleyball, so I moved on. That's a segue.
It's a really good one. No, I've never met Brian Blessed. Oh. Why, have you?
No, but I'm just collecting stories of Brian Blessed in the hope that one day I can get Brian Blessed on here to see if they're all true.
I know a man who has met Brian Blessed. Mm. Does that count?
Is it Brian Blessed? And it was him in his...
He had a good... I think he's an expert on Yetis or something.
He's an expert on a lot of things.
Okay. Yeah.
Did the man who met Brian Blessed...
Yeah, did
know
a story about him.
Yetis.
He thinks he's a Yeti.
Brian Blessed thinks he's a Yeti.
Maybe that's
or
why
the
they're
bloke
friends.
Who met Brian Blessed thought it was... Maybe the bloke met a Yeti and thought it was Brian Blessed.
Maybe
because
that's what
that's
it is.
A different question of mine. It's like, good. I saw you do the dance, the Comic Relief dance show.
Oh, God, yeah.
With Pete Furman.
Yeah.
Who I reckon might have been a pointless answer on Celebrity Pointless Magicians. he would have been one of my choices. That was pretty impressive. I mean, A, you're a better singer than Pete Furman.
Oh,
he's probably better at magic than you are.
Yeah, that's true.
But you had to be involved in the magic tricks.
Yeah,
you
I did. So this was Let's Sing and Dance for Comic Relief this year. So me and Pete Furman did Black Magic by Little Mix.
Yeah.
Great tune. But I had to be... So I was like a magician's assistant. So I had to appear out of a box.
Yeah.
But because most magician's assistants are 5'4" and a size 4... And then I rock up 5'11" wall of woman. So me trying to get in this little box to hide. They had to make the box bigger for me because it wouldn't keep my hips in. There's nothing that makes you feel happier in life than that. Well, I have to make the box bigger. So then I had to do that. And then, then sing and dance.
Yeah. It was really impressive.
Thank
you. It was really good.
Did you watch it?
I just saw it on YouTube today.
Oh, right.
When I was researching.
Just popped up, yeah, sure.
It's good, check it out. Pete Furman can't sing.
He can't, but he does. He has got. He's just got northern charm.
Yeah.
Did you love it? Like that. That's what he sounds like.
There's a sort of touch of the Jimmy Savile's about him, I would say. He's got women in a box.
Okay.
He lets them out, but, you know. It's all right. Enough time's passed. That's all right. It's all right to joke about that. It's all right. It's fine. I'm just trying to remember how to do this podcast. I hope you don't mind.
No,
I hope you don't mind
fine.
Me.
Any more Brian Blessed stuff for you?
No, we're going to leave that behind.
Okay.
We're going to just hope for. I'm hoping to get him. His agent's very tricky with me.
Really?
I know Brian Blessed's daughter, and she says she thinks he'll do it.
Right.
But I've been through his agent, but now his book people have come to me and said, "Would you like Brian Blessed?" And I said, "Yeah, would I?" So they're going to try and get him on.
Oh, brilliant.
We'll see how that works out. Just saying everything that's going into my head, isn't I? I shouldn't really talk. Shouldn't really be talking about it. there was something I wanted to talk to you about. It was you were in Josh.
Why
were you in Josh and I wasn't in Josh? I'm meant to be playing a paedophile postman in this series of Josh. I made an agreement with Ellis,
right,
that I'd be written in as a paedophile postman.
And then I come
and then
along.
Then you
and I,
come along and take my part. Is that what you were?
Sadly enough, I was a spin class teacher.
Okay, that's so, you can see how they got to that.
Yeah. Well, you could have been a great spin class teacher. Yeah. I'm sure. Have you been for a spin class?
Is that the one on the cycling?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I haven't.
No.
I've been in the room where it happens.
Oh, right.
And someone's pointed at the thing, says, "We have a spin class in here. I think you'd love it." I'm going, yeah.
Yeah. It's good fun.
See you later.
It's good fun.
Did you have to do a lot of method acting to get into the...
I'd already done it, Richard. I'd been spinning. Yeah, I used to go to a mental gym with a woman who did it, and she was... They're nuts, spin class teachers. And this one would one of the things she would yell out, she'd be like, "Spinning is winning!" And then she'd say, "Bread is evil! Bread is evil!" So that was quite motivational.
Were people eating bread on the bicycle? Stop eating bread while you're doing this.
Put the ciabatta down.
You're destroying the whole point. It'd be good. The only reason it'd be good for me is it's half an hour where you can't eat, isn't it? If you eat on one of those things, you'd throw it up, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think so.
So
it's quite violent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my problem. I'm on a diet at the moment.
Are you?
Yeah,
what
I've
one?
Lost some weight.
Have you?
Yeah, so imagine.
What diet are you following?
I just do my fitness pal. I try and I used to run a lot, but I've stopped running. And then
since
I had my kids,
sure,
they ruined it.
Blame the children.
But now I've got a dog, so I've got to walk the dog.
Great.
So that counts as exercise.
So do you scan all the barcodes?
Yeah, yeah.
When you walk around the shops.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to walk around the shops. I'm not eating off the shelves when I get home.
But don't you do it like tonight? Well, I can't have that sandwich. It's got too much.
I just look at the calories on the back of it. But it's very convenient, the barcode scanner.
I love the barcode scanner. It's great.
I would agree with you. But it's good. It works.
It does.
I lost about 3 stone last time.
Bloody hell, that's well good, mate.
Yeah, imagine that. Unfortunately, it came back on again. I have to say. go run. Let's go running. Do some exercise. Go spinning. That's the answer. It doesn't matter. None of it matters. Go trampolining in Brentwood. Now, your current show, which I love your poster for your show. I pass it every day on the way up the hill to the Pleasance.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like you to recreate it for it. It's called This Guy, your show.
I have to put the mic down.
Yeah, you can do that. I love that poster. I like it.
Thank you very much.
It's a joke. What's got two thumbs?
This guy! It doesn't mean anything, does it?
It doesn't. Well, is it the same show? Because I was reading an interview where you were doing a show called Infidelity.
Yes,
is it the same show? Yeah.
No, different show.
Is it? Because that seemed to be from this year. Were you touring that early in the year? There was an Essex paper, and it seemed to be.
Oh, maybe I was touring it. Yeah, I was touring at the beginning of the year. Yeah. Okay. Different show, mate. Keep up.
Okay. I couldn't see anything else about infidelity anywhere else.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was a 2016 show, and that was about being married and wishing I'd slept with more people.
Yeah. That's where I've slept with loads of people, and I still wish I'd slept with more people. Yeah.
Grass is always greener, isn't
it? It is, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very happily married. I've had sex with my wife at least 2 times.
Well, well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
She let me have sex with her because she messed up Celebrity Pointless. That's why we have a son.
I saw your wife talking about that on Twitter today.
It was on. We recorded it ages ago, and then it was on this week, so it's sort of weird, and it made me look, because if we'd said, and I still can't remember his bloody name, Kasuo Ishiguro, if we'd said, he just won the Nobel Prize for Literature,
right,
So it makes us look really stupid because it was recorded a year ago before he was all famous again.
Oh, right.
Everyone, people tweeting, going, ooh. Someone said, you went, oh, that's the standard of Oxford education, is it? That you don't know. He's just won the Nobel Prize. You don't know that. And you go, yeah, because they, you know, it's live, celebrity pointless. And I studied history at Oxford University and I didn't do any fucking work. So that is the reason I don't, and I don't think he'd written that book.
I did Celebrity Pointless, and I was paired up. It was a comics one. I did it. Yeah. I was paired up with Milton Jones.
Oh yeah.
And our first question was about geography, and I'm awful at geography. And I got us out in the first round. Yeah, and I think good. He was furious.
Believe me, he was.
Yeah.
I've been on three times. I've lost it all three times. Every time I go one stage further.
Oh well, that's good progress.
But every time my partner lets me, at least my wife didn't let me down. She didn't let me down. She just didn't do very well.
She just
made
just
every
utter
round.
Dog shit,
and utter, right? I've nearly cried twice on Pointless out of the three times I've been on it. I've never get nervous about anything, seriously. But when you have to talk to Alexander Armstrong before you answer your first question, your brain's going, oh, I've got to think of an answer.
And
I'm going, yeah, I'm doing my show. And it wasn't, it's the show from last year because it's so long ago. I'm publicising a show I've finished.
Right.
I'm going, yeah, I'm doing my show. I'm going home after round one again. I can't believe what my wife has done to me. But luckily, the British public are stupid and didn't work out that it's Fox in Socks. So that is God for the stupid.
I did Celebrity Chase.
Oh, I'd like to do that.
Oh, mate, it was the most stressful thing ever. Yeah. I essentially lost £70,000 for charity. I mean, I laugh now, but I genuinely couldn't sleep. Like, it was the worst feeling.
Did you not get through your round, or did you get through the round and then not win the... Did you get through the first bit of the chase?
No, I didn't get through that because my team thought I was the clever one. So they were like, go for the big offer.
Oh, yeah, don't go for the big
offer. Don't go for the big offer. No. Bloody did it. No. Absolutely. Oh, it's just devastating.
It's too much luck in the chase. I think sometimes they're easy and sometimes they're just...
I did get a really basic question wrong about how many days are in June.
That is pretty... That's pretty...
In the moment, it's very stressful.
Have you done any... I'm very obsessed. I can talk to you about celebrity quizzes a lot, but people might be bored at home, but fuck them, it's my show.
15 to 1.
Oh, you've done 15 to 1?
Yeah, like that.
How far did you get on 15 to 1?
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think I got down to the last, like, six.
Okay, it's not very good.
No.
You've got to get to the
last
three.
It doesn't count. Unless you get to the last three, it doesn't count. Yeah. I got a cricket question, and I just didn't know, and I think my answer was... I said something like, Mr. Crickety Man was my answer. Because I couldn't think of any cricketers' names. That wasn't the right answer, Richard.
No, you never know. Yeah, it's worth
a punt, isn't it?
And I'm glad to have someone who's done worse at quiz shows than me. That is all I'm happy.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you. I've got no trophies of any kind. Okay, you went to the University of York.
True.
Which I nearly went to, but then I got into Oxford instead. And... But I was born near York, so I'm a big fan of York.
It's lovely, York. Yeah. Whitmer Watmergate.
Okay, yeah.
That's a road.
There. Do you support York City, the football team York City?
Nah.
No.
Did you?
I do, yeah. I still do. They're not doing very well.
Oh, dear.
No.
They should focus on volleyball.
They should focus on football a little bit. What did you study at university?
English, literature, brackets, writing, performance.
Okay.
Drama, close brackets.
Who wrote the 2006 novel, something with me in the title? It was Kashio Ishiguro. And how did that go? Did you enjoy being at...
I loved it. Yeah, absolutely loved it. Didn't go... You just didn't have to do that much work.
No.
I worked out you didn't need to go to the lectures at all. I didn't go to any lectures. I just went to my seminars.
I thought people your generation had to work quite hard at university because you got have to pay.
Not too much though. I think mine were like 3,000 a year, so not too much.
Okay.
So not worth going to lectures.
Not worth
it. Wasn't worth it. I loved it. It was some of the best years of my life. Really, really good fun.
Yeah, York's nice, isn't it?
So beautiful. It's just like a little town, really. So it wasn't like the proper like uni experience. It was like four clubs. But they were great. Sweat dripping down the wall. It's what you want, isn't it? Triples for singles.
Yeah, I never really went out when I was at university. So I went to the Carfax chip shop and played on the fruit machine with Mike Cosgrave most of the time.
Aww.
One
Did you have to work really hard?
No, I didn't. I skived all the way through. I copied people's essays. The last term I started working quite hard.
Panic studying.
Yeah. And then I gave up and started drinking halfway through the term.
Sensible.
And then thought I'd better try a bit. I found it very depressing because I'd always done very well at exams.
Right.
That's why I was at Oxford University.
You went to Oxford? You didn't mention it. So.
And then I'd never done an exam where I wasn't prepared for it before. So I was quite suicidal, actually. I thought suicide was an option to escape this this problem. But
stay in school, kids. Stay in school.
Stay in school. Stay in school. But I didn't. Spoiler alert. I didn't kill myself. I just got a 2-1 without doing any work. And someone said that I talk about going to Oxford all the time on this podcast, and I don't think I'm quite embarrassed about it. So
seem very embarrassed.
So I've decided because of that guy to do it.
Oh, say yeah. More.
And you know, I understand why I didn't do it now. So you're in the MASH report, which I'm enjoying a lot. There's only 4 episodes so far, right?
There's been 4 eps, and there's going to be another 6 in the new year, I believe.
That's an odd way to do a series.
I know, but I don't understand television.
And wasn't it like a couple of weeks on and a couple of weeks off anyway?
There had to be a break in the middle because there was some World Athletics bullshit going on. So yeah, they did that.
Yeah, they used to do that to This Morning Rich Not Judy as well, which that's not a very good sign for the series. So it never came back again. It's a very good show.
It's good, isn't it? It's fun. It's really fun.
And, yeah, you've got, and it's. We're going to talk to Rachel later, who's also in it.
Yes.
I think that suits you, that role, very well. The kind of is this sort of
dead behind the eyes, smug news anchor.
Yeah, I suppose.
Thank you very much.
Because you're a very good actor.
Thank you.
But it's very funny. There's some very funny reports. I like the one about the northern man coming down and
terrifying Londoners.
Yeah,
by being cheerful. Yeah, they're great. I think because the Daily Mash, obviously, the thing that they're known for is obviously the brilliant, you know, really snappy headlines. Yeah. And that's a lot of what I get to do. I read out the headlines and the little stories that go with it. So yeah, it's a brilliant part, and it's a really good show. It's a really interesting cast, really, you know, new people.
Yeah.
I think the format is really it's different.
Yeah.
I think it's just really right for the time.
Well, like a lot of people have been trying to do this topical show in England or the UK that doesn't seem to have worked in the UK before. I think this has a very good shot because it's not just, there's an element where Nish, I suppose, is doing that John Oliver, John Stewart sitting behind a desk and talking, but he makes it his own.
He does, yeah. And I just think it's got a really British sensibility about it. And I think it's only going to get better as everyone sort of gets more grounded in. And I think that really, like, people I really rate really like it, and I think that's a really good sign.
I really like it, so.
Oh well.
Can't have everything. Good, so there's more in next year.
Yes, more in the pipeline, and for sure.
Yeah, good. That's very good news. I was going to talk about that already. It's my first day.
Are you tired?
Oh, I'm not, it's not even tired. I'm just like out of my head.
Right.
I just don't feel like any of this is happening.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's all right. But it's often like that on this podcast.
Right.
And that can be good because sometimes I'll say something, you know, offensive and amusing. Sometimes it's just offensive, though, right? And sometimes. Well, I haven't said anything offensive. I enjoyed this thing you did about the non-motherhood challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was on, that was last year on Facebook.
Yeah.
You're familiar with Facebook, Richard?
I call it the Facebook.
The Facebook.
Yeah, that's, I'm very early adopter of it.
Do you post pictures of the kids on the Facebook?
We do a little bit, not very much.
Yeah.
I've got a friends account and a public account, and I don't put the kids really on the public account.
On the public one, sure.
Because, I mean, look at the kind of people who like my stuff.
Absolutely.
I mean, look at them.
Nutbags. Yeah. No, that's fair. Yeah, fair enough.
But so yeah, we've put a few of the kids up.
Yeah. So it was basically there was a thing called the Motherhood Challenge, which was where loads of people putting up 5 pictures that made them proud to be a mother. So just lots of, you know, smug pictures of kids eating with just avocado all around their mouth.
someone likes guacamole, no one gives a shit.
There are lots of that. And then so I thought I was going to do the non-motherhood challenge. So I posted 5 photos of myself that made me proud not to be a mother. So that was 4 photos of me asleep. Thank you. And the 5th photo was of me asleep holding a bottle of wine. And I just popped it up on my Facebook page and I didn't really think, you know, much about it. And it went batshit. It's funny what sort of really takes people's imagination. And it just got shared a gazillion times. I went all the way around the world and I got, you know, just really strange requests, like a news channel in Brazil wanted to interview me and stuff. It's very odd what happens in that situation. But yeah, it was great. It was really good fun.
Yeah. It is an odd thing, isn't it? Because I was thinking, you know, I didn't have kids till I was 48, and no one was going to be, apart from my mum, when are you going to have kids? No one was doing that. Whereas as a female, it seems that that's...
Yeah, you get asked it all the time. Yeah. So and that's what my new show's about, actually, right. This guy. I'm on tour now, thanks. And it's all about, basically, the pressure to have children when I have the maternal instinct of a pita bread. Right. I'm just not interested in babies. No. I don't have that. I don't coo over babies in any way. Cats, on the other hand, if someone shows me a picture of their cat, I can basically feel the fur growing on my ovaries. I love a cat, mate. I love a cat. And all my girlfriends are at the age where I think there's only 3 of us left from school now who don't have children. So, like any marginalised group in society, we've set up a WhatsApp support group, which is, true story, it is called the Baron Karens. So we're very different, the Baron Karens, to all the rest of our friends who are now at the stage where, like, when we go and, like, one of our friends has had a kid, so you have to go around and look at the kid. You'll experience this now. Just people come around to check that you have indeed had a baby. So you go around and you look at the baby and say, well done, here, have some baby Gap clothes. And at that point, like, all of my friends who have children will sort of queue up in order to hold the baby, because they're like, just need to fix the baby, just want to have the baby, and more, they need to smell the baby, just snort the baby. Honestly, I'm surprised. There's going to be a time when one of them gets out a £20 note just to inhale this child, and I just have no interest in any of that.
Which is
tricky.
Well, you know, it's good because there's too many people in the world.
There are too many people.
So, like, we shouldn't be encouraging people to have babies they don't want.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be asking them about
it. It's true, but then I also feel like if I don't have kids, will I just have FOMO? But then that should be about if your mate's going to, like, Laser Quest, not about having another human, right? Yeah. So it's a tricky position to be in. And my husband's the same. He's not really that bothered. Yeah. And he's also knocking on, so I'm worried about his guys. Because, you know,
mine is still going.
Yours is... Mick Jagger had a baby last year, and he looks like he's been dug up. So... So maybe it's all right, but it's just there's a lot of things to think about, isn't there?
Yeah, well, there is, and it's and people don't think about them. And I didn't think about it even for the second one. It's terrible. It's all horrible. Just forgot how hard it is.
Yeah.
It's nice,
but one of my mates the other day just had twins.
Right.
That's just stupid.
Yeah,
isn't
that's hard work. Gets out of the way.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's you sort of think like. You know, because I am a bit older.
Yeah.
You know, if we were thinking about having 3, but you're sort of thinking if it's another 2, and then you're sort of doing all the mental calculation. I've already pretty much accepted that, you know, it's a death, that life and death sentence. They saved me, my family. I'd be dead now if it wasn't for them, but they are also going to kill me.
2
because it's just too much to it's too much to keep up with. It's hard. So, like, the idea, you know, just in its stretches, it's that early part, I think, especially that first 5 or 6 years.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, and so, but then you have another one, and that's 5 or 6 years becomes 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
You have another one, it's 10 or 11 years.
When are they going to bring
I mean, they're
home...
not, they're nice when you're putting them on your shoulder. No, and then I pick up my daughter and go, fuck, she's like an adult human being in comparison. They become uncute very quickly.
But the baby must...
She's a monster, my
Why is
my
she
daughter.
A monster?
She's so big now compared to the little one. And literally, she dresses up as a monster, actually.
Oh, that...
My daughter, it's kind of interesting. Obviously, I love my children, okay? But let's pretend I don't.
Right.
That's
the party
really,
line,
they get
right?
To, she's about 2.5 now, a bit more than 2.5. And so, like, she starts, she's imagining stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so she's in her new bedroom and she said to her mum, there's a monster in my fireplace. right, we live in quite an old house.
Oh, God.
And and then you go, ah, oh, it's cute to imagine it, and then part of you goes, is there, what if there is a monster? because that only the innocence of a child can see.
My I saw my niece and nephew at the weekend. My niece is five, and she had a like little doctor's kit out, and she was like, "I'm going to be the doctor." And she got a stethoscope out, and she was like listening to my chest. And I went, "Oh, what does my heart sound like?" And she went, "Sad." and then I was like, "Why?" And she went, "Because it's broken." Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, really cutting stuff, isn't it? Stuff. And I remember once I was trying to look after her. I was trying to put her shoes on and I couldn't get her shoes on. And I was babysitting and I couldn't get them on. And she just went, "You're not a very good grown-up, are you, Auntie?" They can see right through me.
So that probably means the monster's true, right?
The monster is 100% true.
But she's been dressed as a monster for the last 2 days. She's got a little monster outfit we did for last Halloween.
Oh, great.
And she wanted to dress up because we moved house, everything's in boxes, so it came out. Yeah. So she wants to dress as a monster. I think it's just she's watched Monsters, Inc.
Right.
So it's an irresponsible film because it makes kids know there are monsters. And there aren't monsters, right? I think. The greatest monster of all, man. It could just be a man in the chimney. Maybe the previous owner lives up the chimney. Didn't leave. Could be though, isn't it? I'm worried there's a guy. I mean, I'm genuinely like, oh, it's cute. I'm actually a bit scared to sleep in the house.
I always hear that kids come in when your daughter's older and you just wake up and you find a child just staring at you. That one always sounds quite terrifying.
We took the dog for a walk the other night and then she said to me, "I like you, Daddy," and kissed my hand. So there you go. That is, I like you. That's as far as I like you. But it's made the last 30 months worthwhile.
That's all you get.
Because she didn't like me. She plays with me, but she's playing with me by being rude to me.
Right.
But she really likes her mum and she doesn't like me.
Yeah.
So it was nice. You know, after 32 months or something, it was...
It's made it all worthwhile.
The other day we were on a swing and I pushed the swing and she was going... I said, what are you doing? She said, "I'm trying to catch the clouds."
Oh.
What a stupid idiot. The clouds weren't even low down. The clouds were like a way up. She was going about that high.
Really sweet.
They're miles in the sky. You think you're going high. You're not even going high. So it's like a two-year-old swing. It's a tiny swing.
Oh, she'll never get into Oxbridge, will she?
No. And what's the lodge? The lodge. Lodge.
Yes, that was it. I did. It was a couple of years ago. I did a Disney. Mm. A Disney musical sort of TV show. So it's about a group of kids who would take over a hotel, God knows. So I come in and I am the love interest for the dad. That's where I'm at.
It sounds like you're upset you weren't the love interest for a child. Is that what I was hoping to be the love interest.
There were these 18-year-old lads going around. Yeah. No, it wasn't. I was the love interest for the dad. But that was quite fun. I had to do a dance routine.
Did you? Yeah.
Oh, dreadful. But yeah, it's good fun.
Yeah.
Good fun.
What are Disney like to work for?
Great.
Yeah. Got to say that.
I've got to say that. Mickey loves to sue. No, they were lovely. No, it was really nice. It was quite nice being like part of something so big and something so sort of foreign to everything. You know, I am obviously an adult who does quite rude comedy sometimes, and I'm like, oh, I'm having to come in and this very sort of moral story. So, but it was an interesting. And we filmed it in Belfast as well, which was nice. Good crack.
Yes.
Good crack.
Yeah. Good. So look, I'm going to ask you an emergency question from the app, the emergency question app you can get now. Yeah. Oh, shut up. It's good what I'm doing. It's there, you do this and then you get a random question.
How much is the app?
It's absolutely free.
Is 100%, it?
100% free to download. In-app purchases
required. You're so charitable,
aren't
you? All right.
What is the worst thing you've eaten for a bet? The reason I asked this question is when I was, we'd just left university, we were living in Acton, and we had a house party, and I said, if you give me £50, I'll eat that entire pack of butter.
Like a Labrador.
And I had two bites of it, and it was, I think it was slightly off.
Oh.
I've never been able to eat Anchor butter again since. It was so, well, I don't know if you eat butter in a whole mouthful, if it just tastes quite bad.
That's horrible.
Yeah, so I didn't even win the £50.
Oh, God.
Because I only ate two mouthfuls and then felt really sick. And every time I think about it, I can still taste it and feel bad. I wish I'd never brought it up.
I don't think I've eaten any. I'm quite fussy about what I put in my mouth.
Are you?
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't think I've done. There was a boy at school called Matt Brown who said, oh, God, you know, boys are disgusting at school. And he was like, if three people spat on the floor, he would suck it up. And then he got paid like a fiver. And he did it.
Sounds like he wanted to do that.
Bet's a bet, yeah.
Here's a good question I remember writing. Would you rather be an orchestra that has been assimilated by the Borg and endlessly plays only orchestral versions of Mel and Kim songs? I think I was just struggling at this point. Or
yeah.
A cart horse. And what I like about this is that there's an anagram in the centre of this, a surprising anagram in the centre of this question. Orchestra's an anagram of cart horse, ladies and gentlemen.
Wasted on this bunch.
This audience. Or a cart horse that has to pull a cart full of corpses of all your... I genuinely have no memory of writing this. Have to cart all your cart horse friends around all day long. Do you understand what I just said? Or a cart horse that has to pull a cart full of the corpses of all your cart horse friends. All day long, but is otherwise treated well and gets Sunday off. I think there was a lot going on there in that.
So multi-layered.
Because I think there's a little bit of Ten Commandments in there. You know, with the Ten Commandments... You've got to allow your slaves to have a day off.
Oh, right.
I've just That's one say, of the Ten Commandments.
You've got tears in your eyes. Yeah, from my eyes. Your own question there.
I know, I'm very emotional at the
What's
moment.
What's a Mel and Kim song?
Mel and Kim song. Mel and, do you remember Mel and Kim?
I remember the names, but I can't think of any of their songs.
No. We are Mel and Kim.
Is that it? Just a repeat.
Do you want my sim? I don't know what you're talking about. It's the 1980s.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to say the orchestra. Just
I'll ask you one. This is one I wrote. This is one of the bonus questions that the... I wrote. People who can't... Thank you for contributing to Kickstarter film this. I hope you feel it was worth it.
Oh, it's a big film.
You'd be having a breakdown, yeah.
Oh, I don't know that.
Okay, this is one of my new emergency questions.
Okay.
That isn't on the app yet. If you had to have your genitals stapled to the face of a celebrity and had to walk around for the rest of your life with your genitals stapled to their face, if you had to, which celebrity would you have your genitals stapled to and how do you imagine you would negotiate with them about whose turn it was to do stuff?
I think there's some questions we need to ask
here.
Does the person have to like walk around with you the whole time?
Yeah, well, they've got your genitals stapled. I mean, I imagine they'd have to crawl a bit.
But it's just on their face?
Yes, you, via your genitals.
It's not,
it's not your genitals haven't been removed. And so your genitals,
yep,
still attached to you.
Oh!
Have been stapled.
I thought it was like a face swap.
No.
Okay.
They're your genitals. You've been stapled to them.
Oh, right.
To their face. And then you have to... I thought this was a good question when I wrote it down. And there's a subsidiary question. How do you think having your genitals stapled to their face would impact on their job?
Oh, I feel bad that this is the question that you've come up with like a week after your wife has given birth.
It was before. I did write it before.
Okay. Who would... I don't... Oh, my God. What do you want... So they're just there.
Yeah, well, you know, they... It'd be like being, a conjoined twin,
How
but with
you...
someone who you're not, you know, the same age.
You'd have to be like, I'd have to walk like a
you'd have
crab.
To work. You'd have to walk away, work a way around to
that
do
would
it.
Be, yeah. It'd be really quite difficult, yeah. Wouldn't it?
It would. It'd be awful.
Just so... I mean, I feel like, again, it was the similar answer to the questions we were asking. You want someone... clean nice.
Yeah.
And I might go for the same answer, actually, that I go... I think Holly Willoughby.
Holly Willoughby, yeah. Okay. That was our backstage interview.
Just why... Because she's nice and clean, and I just think...
I don't think she's that clean.
Oh, she's so clean. She's the cleanest. Okay. She's squeaky. Okay. Who would you have?
really thought about it. I'll just write this shit down and so. I mean, it's, you know, in a way, it's worse for a man, isn't it? Because, like, it's, then your genitals are very much on display. A woman having a genital stapled to someone's face, it's just your legs on their face, really, isn't it?
Are you suggesting there's something shameful about women's genitals?
No, I'm not. I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying it's internal, like a pocket. Which I don't think anyone could dispute.
Right.
But a man's genitals are external. That's part of the problem with them.
With them.
That's the reason men are... It's the testicles thing. It's all about... That's why men are... So screwed up. If only they'd put them in the inside. Why not put them on the inside? Oh, to keep the sperm cool. They could just come out every now and then. They could pop out when... Couldn't they? They could just pop out in a little pouch when you're going to procreate. And
retractable.
Then your sperm could be nice and cool. And then back in. You could have a little drawstring, like on a... Hey, I feel like breeding today.
Like the drawbridge, I think,
Would you rather have a heart made of diamonds or a spade made out of clubs? Now this is, and the heart would be a functioning heart, but it would be made of diamonds. It'd be an extremely valuable thing. But if you tried to extract it yourself, you would die. It's your heart.
Yeah.
But once you're dead, someone could extract it, so it could be a reason for someone to murder you to get your diamond heart.
Right.
I can't really think of any positive attributes of having it beyond it's a legacy for yours.
Sure,
family.
Just nice to be different, isn't it?
And the spade is made out of like caveman clubs. But no one's going to kill you for that unless they really want a useless spade.
I'm going to go diamond heart every time,
yeah,
right?
Okay, cool.
Just to be everyone, just like jewels.
Yeah. Well, it's nice that there is that aspect, and it's big. It's a heart's a hefty
that's
size.
It. Yeah, you'd be worth a lot of money. Or you could just have a heart transplant.
And put a diamond in.
No, to take the diamond out.
Yeah.
Sell that. Buy a heart.
Oh, I see. Yeah, get a heart in.
Swapsies.
With the money you've got from the diamond.
And just get a really good ring out of it.
Yeah.
Smash
good thinking. I hadn't thought of that.
Well,
that's the conniving female mind there.
Exactly.
What do you most regret destroying with fire? I think I most regret destroying with fire is when I was at school, I wasn't very good at art. And I worked quite hard at it, but I could never do art.
Mm.
And I got all my art folder from the entire time I was at middle school. And when I got home, I immediately burnt it because it was a symbol of my failure.
Oh, gosh.
But as an adult, I kind of regret not having it anymore.
I don't think I've burnt enough things in my life
in
that
case. You've
got
to burn some stuff.
I was watching a woman on YouTube the other day who was doing like new moon rituals, and you have to like write your list of all the things that you want in life, and then you say them out loud to the moon, and then you set fire to it. So maybe I could do that.
Yeah, you have to set fire to the moon.
That's exactly what you have to do. Now, you write a list of all the things that you want, all the things you want to get rid of, and I'd write on obviously the things I want. You know, volleyball classes in Brentwood. That's what I do. Things I want to get rid of. Holly Willoughby stapled to my genitals.
Yes.
And I'd say it to the moon, and it would all come true. That's what you do.
Yeah. I guess you could remove the staples. It's not really an efficient way to connect two human
That's
beings
true.
Together.
Yeah.
Just need some kind of tool.
Staple or remover, yeah. Get Philip Schofield because they're
good friends. I haven't thought it through, have I? No. I just haven't thought that one through.
It's ridiculous, Richard.
You were in What's Cooking from the Sainsbury's Kitchen 2013.
Oh, God.
What memories do you have of that?
Oh, God. Very little. Oh, God, yeah, that was... I think it was filmed in, like, a Sainsbury's car park.
Was it?
Yeah, and Ben Shepherd was on it, and he was very nice.
He is nice, isn't he?
Really
nice.
Have
you done Tipping Point?
I haven't done Tipping Point.
No, you must do Tipping Point.
My mum did Tipping Point.
Did she?
She didn't win anything.
Did she... How well did she describe the counters coming down?
Do you have to do that?
Yeah, it comes down, and he goes, what do you think is going to happen? He goes, I think it's going to come down there. Do you think it's going to ride? Yeah, it might do. Should we just wait and see? Now let's talk about it a bit while we're waiting for it to happen. Oh, yeah. One of the three things that could happen is happening. Did you have that conversation with Ben Shepherd?
I didn't watch her episode.
You didn't watch it?
She didn't win, so what's the point? So not interested in a loser's mother. She did The Chase. She's quite good on quiz shows.
She's done The Chase as well.
Yeah, but I'm just the
I
massive...
I should have had your mum on.
Yeah, she's much more impressive than I am, yeah. Yeah, she won $6,000 on The Chase.
What? It's impossible to win The Chase.
Not with Jill Taylor's involved, mate. She's super smart. Yeah, she's just really embarrassed by my legacy of failure.
Yeah, that's awful though. That's in a way. Do you think you're going on these quiz shows to try and impress your quizzing mum?
Yeah, basically that. My sister's had the children. I need to, in some way, try and get her approval. It's either quizzing or going on Strictly, and none of those two are happening. Yeah. So
you could go on Strictly. You can dance.
Well, can I?
Yeah, well, they're not meant to be able to dance.
Well, in that case, I'd smash it from that point.
I mean, loads of them go on and are able to dance. Susan Calman's doing well.
She did so well. Do you watch it normally?
No. I've only watched her dances.
Oh, she's so good.
I hate all ballroom dancing and entertainment and fun.
Oh, and fun. Yeah. Are you dead inside too?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, me too. I've got really into it this year because Susan's on it. She's brilliant. She's so good. Would you ever do it?
No.
Okay.
Not a chance. Not a chance. I like going on those kitchen. Was it one of the Saturday morning kitchen things?
Ooh.
I just go on for the food now, and that's it. And literally, you're meant to go on to publicise stuff, right? Like Sunday kitchen, Saturday kitchen, Waitrose kitchen. I go on because you meet some weird celebrities, and then they cook you some really nice food, and you can usually have a drink, right? And
just
it's free.
A free boozy brunch. Yeah. That's what you're after.
And I go and try and keep my head down and say as little as I can,
right?
Because no one watching them is going to come and see. Look, I mean, look. No, then these people aren't going. Who watches the Sunday brunch here? No, they do actually. Yeah. Who's here because they saw me on Sunday brunch? Not a soul. So. I haven't done it for a little while, but it was great last time. Was that we had whiskey last time? I drank loads of it.
Did you?
That took one away. You get cocktails. Just took one back to the table. Just try to say as little as possible. I met the bloke who plays Olaf the Snowman from Frozen. He was in Pixels at the time with Adam Sandler. That was what he was publicising.
Oh.
He didn't admit that it was shit, as he should have done.
That's meant to be awful, that
Well,
film.
You know, even by Adam Sanders standards.
Oh, dear.
It's weak. It's a weak programme. Right, so I'm gonna do another emergency question from a random one coming up. I won't ask you that one. Who is your favourite? It was too convoluted. The problem with this is that we put the book in the app and sometimes the question comes up and it refers to another question.
Too much.
It's very poorly designed.
Okay. Can't wait to get it.
Who is your favourite mythological figure? That's a good question.
Oh.
You studied literature. Oh, I mean, admittedly English literature. But
yeah, but I did like stupid. I like one of my essays was on The Office and Alan Partridge.
Right.
I didn't go to Oxbridge, clearly. Can I say, does a mermaid count as a mythological creature? It's not like out of proper.
I'm going to allow it.
Mermaid, mate.
Yeah. Why do you like the mermaid?
I just want to be a mermaid. I've always wanted to be a mermaid. Really good swimmer.
Yeah.
Want hair to cover my boobs.
Yeah.
That's it, really.
Do you end up? But you end up with a fish genitals.
Why are you obsessed with genitals?
Because it's why we're here. If you're not listening to this podcast before.
I don't think it's ever been quite as genitalia focused.
It's very much.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
At least I haven't asked if you want a chocolate bar at your bum. I've given you some respect. Just that.
Well, what an honour it is, Richard.
I haven't asked you the human centipede question, have I?
Well, you basically have in another form. Apart from staples.
Shut up, I'm running out of ideas. You know how hard it is to come up with these questions.
Is there another question? Like, what celebrity would you like to have super glued to your genitals?
That's a good
blue
one.
Blue-tacked.
Why can't we all just be friends? That's a nice question. I'm trying to get a dating one. This is a dating one.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the best of the cartoon cats? You like cats. What's the best cartoon cat? There's a lot of them.
Oh, well, the one that Antonio Banderas plays.
Oh, yeah.
The fit one in Shrek.
Put a Shrek in it. It's the good
one. Yeah, here we go.
I like Lino the best, but Top Cat as well before he did the adverts.
Who's Lino?
Lino from the Thundercats.
Oh, thunder.
Here's another one question. There's 100 dating questions. This is a good one. If I had food on my face or stuck in my teeth, would you tell me about it?
Oh, that's a really hard one. I've got such massive teeth. Though I have a lot of time, I have food in my teeth. It's a nightmare with these choppers.
My wife's got big teeth.
Yeah.
She looks like a kind of llama. It's what attracted me to her in the first place. I'm a big fan of hooved mammals. And that was one of the things I liked about her.
My husband calls me horse teeth.
Does he? Yeah. It's nasty, isn't it?
So I think I would tell you.
She worries about having stuff in her stuck in her teeth.
Top tip: just use a bit of hair to floss them out. Showbiz to the end, guys.
Hold on, I'm gonna show. Here we go. I've done some for kids, not for dating kids, mate.
Okay.
Separate. This is a kid's question. Would you rather be a bogey or some belly button fluff? See, I can do stuff without genitals in it. Just move it up slightly.
Belly button fluff.
Yeah.
It's just cosy, isn't it?
Yeah. Slightly. Well, it's nicer than being a bogey.
Yeah, but you could probably see more if you're a bogey.
Maybe. Belly buttons are weird. That's the weirdest thing about having a newborn baby.
Why?
Because they, for ages, they've got this big fucking clamp on there.
My friend's
mum. And it's all rotting flesh. And then you're worried you're going to pull it off and hurt them. And then it falls off. And you go, did I pull it off? And then it's this weird... And I genuinely thought for quite a while my son was going to be an outie.
And I thought, good I can't. God. I'd have the to shame.
Leave him, I'd have to leave him on the hillside. But it's, I think it's going in now.
My friend's mum...
No offence to the outies, but you are scum. You shouldn't be allowed to breed with us normals.
Yeah, my friend's mum kept all... She's got three kids, kept all three of the things. And but she kept them in a really special place because she didn't really want to nick them if they got burgled. She kept them under the cooker. Like, with the jewels of the family and the umbilical rotting cords. Gross.
I asked my wife if she wanted to keep it and she looked like she was going to be sick. I have to say, it is so disgusting.
You didn't do anything... You know, people do weird things with the placenta.
Yeah, no, we didn't.
Bin it.
Yeah.
Straight, it's just gross. Yeah. People make, like, smoothies. No, thanks. No, not interested.
Yeah, no, but it's interesting, isn't it? I wish I'd... You know, it's the closest... It's like legal cannibalism.
Cannibalism, yeah.
You're sort of eating a baby. You're eating the bits of the baby that didn't quite... that fell off, didn't quite fit on...
Like jerky? Yeah. No. I can't, no.
But no, it was... but the birth process is...
Horrific.
You know, when I think about it, probably the worst thing about having a child isn't the belly button. The worst thing is probably it coming out of... Oh. It's terrible. It was very stressful for me. Again, it was the poor second thing. Time. It was awful.
Did you get a bit hungry? Did you have a snack during?
No. Well, actually, it was incredibly rapid this time. So,
well, thank
in
goodness.
The end,
thank goodness she was thoughtful.
Yeah. But oh dear.
It's not neat, is it?
No.
Not neat.
We nearly had it in the. We were very overstaffed. The NHS needs a lot of help, and we're not getting it. We nearly had it in the corridor. I nearly had to do it, and we were in hospital waiting. I nearly had to do it.
Blimey.
Because they wouldn't believe her. They wouldn't believe she's having a baby. I said, look, you know, there's not a big fart in there, mate. That is a baby. I'm not a doctor. Well, that was a good one. It's gone past. Now, what's the strangest name you've ever heard anyone give to their grandparents? This is for kids. This is a kid's question. I called my grandma my Nanan, and lots of people think that's amusing. Well, I do not Nana. Think so. Nanan.
Gaga. My mum tried to get on board with Nonna. I'm like, right. Mum, you're from Greenwich. You're not going to be called Nonna. So, yeah, she's just Nanny.
Okay. Would you rather be King Kong or King of the Swingers? I really wanted to put King Dong in that, but I wasn't there to change. Some of them are inappropriate, I have to say. Cool. your tour is... I'm very impressed with my app.
I think it's very good. It's efficient.
So, are you touring all over the UK?
Touring all over the country, yes. And I'm doing a date here, actually, Leicester Square, in November.
When's that? November?
November the 3rd.
November the 3rd?
November the 3rd.
Am I doing one that night? No, I'm not. I'm doing November the 6th.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I'll leave you something special in the dressing room.
I know. I'm in before you.
Yeah, well, I can do it. I mean, I'm here all the time. Okay. I'm here every week.
You're just going to so hide
I can,
something.
I can, I'll put something. I'm going to put
the umbilical cord.
My son's umbilical cord. Put it in a smoothie for you. That's so nasty. And then they're sick on you and stuff. I don't know why. I think you're right. I don't know why anyone has a kid. The modelling agency you work for was called ISIS. Is that right? How are they getting on?
I
have a Muslim friend who bought me an elderly friend who bought me some shower gel called ISIS. Kind of thing. Are they making an admission here?
There was a girl at my uni, beautiful girl,
yeah.
Called Isis.
Was there? Yeah.
She has to live with that.
Well, it's the so-called Islamic State, so I call them SCIS.
Okay.
That's what their real name is. They're not doing so well, are they? Come on, Islamic State. Come on, try a bit harder. Not doing so well these days.
Is this a benefit
to be
for
honest,
ISIS?
You know, if I was a terrorist, I'd just be embarrassed about, you know, that Americans are better at killing themselves than they are, so... It's true, isn't it? I just sit back and let them do it themselves. Just wait. It's going to be quicker. That's all I'm saying. If I was a terrorist, I'd be embarrassed. That's all I'm saying. If you have a problem with that... We edit that bit out. Well, you did some interesting stuff. I want to talk a bit mildly seriously at the end about.
Okay.
You did something interesting on your blog or on your website about the Kardashians and body image and this sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's sort of interesting because obviously you are an ex-model and, you know, I think many people would say you're very attractive and not me. And that's the way that sounded. Many people would say you're attractive, but.
For me.
Horses for courses. For me, I'd rather the belly button from my son. But you sort of talk about your own issues with that. It's sort of with body image problems.
I'm batshit.
Yeah.
I'm batshit. But I think modelling didn't help.
No.
And it's just a bit weird. So yeah, I think Instagram is just mad for making you look at other people and going, oh, but I don't look like that.
Yeah.
I wrote a bit about that. It's just hard. It's a comparison, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
There's so much comparison at the moment. And I find that's quite difficult. And I try to be better as I get older because I want to be a good feminist, but I am still like, oh, I had fried chicken and now I want to kill myself. So it's a funny old line to walk. But yeah, I think it's difficult for girls of my generation.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of interesting that, you know, I mean, I think that's in a way, it's a positive thing that if someone, you know, is still feeling that and they're an ex-model and they're still feeling that modelling and TV people are kind of giving you that idea, then that should, in a way, make people think, oh, hold on, this is a bit crazy.
But then shouldn't, I don't know, I'm like a arguably reasonably stable human who has got a nice husband and a nice life, and then I'm still, you know, feeling, it makes me feel weird.
Yeah.
How's it going to make young girls feel? Do you know, that's the kind of thing I do. That sort of concerns me a little bit.
Yeah.
And how, like, you know, just still, if one of my friends has got food poisoning, a little bit of me is like, oh, lucky bitch. That would drop a stone before the holiday, that sort of thing. And it's like having that in your head, like, what is going on with that, mate?
It's a fascinating thing, and it's because the way society has changed, it's always been, obviously people have always loved beautiful people and wanted to see beautiful people on TV, but you know, in the old days it was much more like, if you watched TV, there were people on who didn't conform to that stereotype of attractiveness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now it seems everyone's so much the same that it becomes impossible for anyone to.
I think because everyone is so filtered, aren't they?
Yeah.
I was on the tube the other day and there must have been like beautiful teenage Japanese little girl tourists, and they were taking photos all around London, clearly they're on their phones, and they weren't just putting filters on Instagram, they were literally zooming into their faces and whatever app it was, like airbrushing out like lines and stuff, and I thought, well, nothing really exists, does it? It's just so weird. You take photos and then you edit them, and then you have friends who like will make, you know, we need a photo of us doing whatever, like we weren't really doing that moment didn't exist apart from to take a photo of. It's just such a strange.
Yeah, but you know, so when I grew up, we just had like a camera with a film in it and 24 shots on it. You didn't
know what you got.
Well, you didn't really take photos because you were worried about wasting them.
Yeah.
so you would really have to be something you thought was worth taking a photo of.
Yeah.
You had to wait for it to come back and then see if you'd got it.
Yeah.
And so like the fact that you can take a photo of everything in every second of the day is kind of worrying.
I used to work on the Boots photo counter.
Oh, did you?
In the days before, phones and stuff. Well, not actual phones. before smartphones. So, yeah, and I used to do the developing and stuff. That was quite fun.
No one thinks of those people, do they?
No.
Where are they? They're all out on the scrappy. Got
their little doing dark bloody room. Stand-up, yeah. Yeah.
No, it's interesting. What's the answer to all of this, Ellie? How do we sort it out?
I think I think probably the answer is, I've been thinking lately, maybe it would be good if, you know, you have laser eye surgery.
Yeah.
If we could get, like, just the pretty filter from Instagram.
Into the eye.
Just in your eyes, then everyone would look beautiful and you wouldn't need to worry.
Yeah, okay.
That seems like the sensible option.
I think that could work.
Yeah?
Well, they sort of, they had those glasses for a while, didn't they? They were trying to get people to wear glasses that could do computers.
Oh, the Google thing,
Google
yeah.
Google glasses.
Yeah.
So that catches on. Could everyone...
Everyone but with a dog filter,
if everyone
great.
Knows it's not real, it's kind of... You know, if those folk... You know, you can see... You can see the person when they're not being photographed. It's a strange thing to have to cope with. Luckily, I'm very, very attractive. So. And do you think that, you know, some people say you've got to be unattractive to do comedy, and I say, well, look at me. I'm neither attractive or good at comedy. So, have you found that being attractive is a you know, made it more difficult or more easy for you?
I mean, it's a weird question to
be asked.
Yeah,
it is a weird question.
I think the modelling thing, people found that interesting at the beginning. Because I think when you start out, people like a hook, like, you know, this is the ex-comedian. Like, you know, they like to be able to sort of pigeonhole you quite quickly. And for me, it was ex-model.
Yeah.
Even though I did it for about 2 years and it was like the most inconsequential part of my life, really. And I was never really that involved with the whole industry because I was on the fringes and dog shit at it.
Yeah.
I felt maybe pigeonholed by that a bit, but I think that's kind of fallen by the wayside now. Yeah. I hope, anyway.
I mean, I think really what maybe what I'm trying to get at badly is, I mean, I think, you know, lots of people, everyone has these hang-ups about themselves.
Yeah.
I think, you know, so people think, oh, I was the kid at school who was bullied, and I was the kid at school who was weird-looking. Or,
yeah.
But nearly everyone has that, right? Even the people who other people look at them and perceive them as being attractive.
Yeah. So I was, I suppose my thing for that was I was really tall. Like, I've kind of plateaued, but I was, as a child, I was like freakishly tall. Like 5'7" when I was 9 kind of thing. Like, weirdo. So I suppose that was always, I always felt quite self-conscious of that. So maybe that's where my angst and stuff comes from.
Yeah.
But other than that, bloody charmed life, mate. Don't know why I'm here. I suppose people do. I think people do find that is. I think people often think that comics are always have had awful, you know, tricky lives and tricky existences. But I think there's quite a few who haven't. Maybe you try and find the angst so you can write an Edinburgh show, don't you?
I guess.
Part of me is like, because my husband's a journalist. Part of me is like, just get a bit of a head injury in Libya, just to give me something to work with.
Do you think audiences have a preconception though that you have to fight against, or do you think it doesn't make any difference?
I think to do sweeping generalisations, I think when you go out on a like mixed bill, I think as a woman, I think sometimes you're more judged. I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
I think you tend to end up representing. You're not just a comedian. You represent all female comedians and how people who have, you know, have a certain view of female comics anyway, will live or die on what they already think. And also, you represent. If you have a bad gig, then they will, you know, well, all female comics are rubbish.
Yes, yeah.
That kind of stuff is just so boringly dull. And still, you obviously still have the people coming up to you. Oh, I don't usually like female comedians, but fuck off. Especially when it's women, it drives me nuts. Like, I don't usually. Like, how can you not find women? Who do you like? How shit are your friends? If you don't find women, like, my mother is hilarious. I genuinely feel very sorry and sad when people say that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just nuts.
Well, I agree, but it is that thing, and you can understand it sometimes when it's a man. It is because they might not know any women because they might be a loser in themselves. You know what I mean? Mm. But it's because you think, well, you know, you think, how can you not have got a funny friend or a funny relative?
Exactly. I think it's just so much social conditioning.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's weirdly still sort of ingrained.
Yeah. Do you think it's? I mean, it feels like it's changing and moving onwards.
I think so.
But then the world will throw up something else that makes you realise how awful it is. But
well, it feels like, I don't know, it does feel like, well, you wonder if it's like a revolution, but it's just a revolution on Facebook. But it feels like a lot of my female friends are kind of garnering at the moment, and we're talking at the time that all the Harvey Weinstein stuff has come out. So it feels like there's a real like push for like, it shouldn't be a push, this should just be normal. How is this? It's a real sort of, I don't know, it's making a lot of people angry, and I think people are reconsidering things that we've taken as sort of the status quo. Like this thing at the moment going around on Facebook, on social media stuff, Me Too, mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen that, it's about all the like, women who have been sexually assaulted or harassed putting up online saying that has happened to them. And you just see, like, my timeline is littered with, like, literally every woman I know, and you go, this is just a thing that you take on board. And the stuff where I'm like, well, I haven't really had any of that, but you know, there was this time and that happened, and it's just so part of your life as a woman that you don't even think about it. And we should think about it. And it's the little stupid bits that I think of, you know, like, oh, being groped in a nightclub or the catcalling stuff that we shrug off as just blokes being blokes and normal. Yeah. That's the stuff that allows the bigger things to happen. It's like a gateway into that. We need to shut it down at the bottom to prevent that happening. So from that point of view, I feel like there does feel like a real garnering of passion at the moment from women. So hopefully attitudes will
then you've got the president of
Thank you.
But then you've got the president of the United States.
I know.
I mean, the world's so confused.
I wonder if the Harvey Weinstein thing had come out before Trump, and then subsequently that had come out, if that would...
But, you know, Trump's riding it, like going, the Republicans are riding, going, look at this guy because he's a Democrat, and then just ignoring the same thing happening to... So I don't know, I don't understand how he's allowed to get away and nobody else is, but, and other people are, but... Yes, it's very confusing. Anyway, I think we're going to have to call it a day there, unfortunately, but that was very exciting. I'm so rubbish.
You really tried. You just sort of petered off.
I just thought that's not the right thing to say. That's not right. It's not exciting, is it? That was exciting.
Insightful?
No.
Oh. Damn it.
It wasn't. It was elementary, my dear Mark Watson. It's been really fantastic talking to you. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you very much.
See Ellie on tour. Ladies and gentlemen, Ellie Taylor.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Rich Rang, the Great Beer Podcast, with me, Rich Rang, and my guest, Ellie Taylor. The music is by Pest, I think. They've been doing it for a while. They always come in every week. It's nice to do it. And also, thank you to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre. Thank you to everyone at Go Faster Stripe and Sky Potato. And thank you to Ian Tunes and everyone at iTunes and Ian British Comedy Guide and everyone there. And this is produced by Ben Walker, who's here on time today, which is a good turn up. And it's a Sky Potato Fuzz and Go Faster Stripe production for the internet. Thank you very much for listening. Go and buy my book, Emergency Questions, at gofasterstrike.com/emergency-questions. Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thanks for listening. Go to gofasterstripe.com for all your Rich Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.